in the top line of Hey Amud Aleph. We were talking about we've been talking about the various days for learning Megillah. The last thing we talked about was that when the villagers learn early on Yom HaKnisa, what do they do as far as the other mitzvahs supporting? We said that Matanas Lev Yonim takes place on the same day they read the Megillah. But we said Simcha is only Bismana on the actual day of Purim itself. So now further on that topic of Bismana and Shalei Bismana, the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Megillah Bismana. When you read the Megillah in its time, meaning on the 14th or 15th respectively, Kodin Osaf Fila B'Yachid, then you're allowed to lay it even for only one person. Because Rashi says, even though you the whole point of reading the Megillah is Persumei Nisa, but since on Purim everybody is laying it, then you have Persumei Nisa right there from the fact that everybody is laying it. But Shaloi Bismana, but if you're laying the Megillah not in its proper time, so the in the case of these villagers who are laying the Megillah on the previous Monday or Thursday, Bas Sara, then you daf can need a minion of 10. Because again, the whole point is Persumei Nisa, and if you're laying it early, if you're not laying it on the day of Purim itself, when everybody else is, then you need 10 for the Persumei Nisa. On the other hand, Rav Asiyama, Ben Bismana, Ben Shle Bismana, Bas Sara, whether Bismana or not, you need 10. Now, Rashi says, and so do a number of other Rishonim, Rav Asi doesn't mean that you must have 10, and if not, you can't be yotze at all. He means that it's still a mitzvah to try to look for 10 for Persumei Nisa. If you don't find, then Rav Asi is not going to say that it's also to lein it biyachid. He's just saying you're not doing the mitzvah in the most ideal way. There are some Rishonim who learn that Rav Asi means actually le'ikuva, that he does actually mean that that you must have a minion of 10, and if not, then you're not yotze. So the Gemara says, "Have a uga v'choshle Rav lahodr Rav Asi." There was a case where Rav actually was concerned about Rav Asi's opinion, even though Rav himself holds that bismana you can. Now remember, you have to remember that in Rav and Rav Asi's times, they didn't have the concept of laning early in the villages anymore, because we learned back on Beis Amud Aleph that concept we said applies only when Pashanim Katiknon, when Beis Din is fixing the months, which fine that they still had in Rav's times, but the Yisrael Shurin al Mos, and most Jews are still living in Eretz Yisrael, which by Rav's times that wasn't the case. Most of the Jews were already living in Chutz La'aretz. So in Rav's times they didn't have the concept of Shaloi Bismana. When Rav is being Choshesh for Rav Ashi, we're talking about Bismana. So on Purim day itself, one time, Rav didn't have a minion, and instead of saying, okay, well, my opinion is that we can lane it biyachid, he still went to try to get together a minion, like Rav Asi is saying. Now, Tosfos says that nonetheless, the halacha is like Rav, even though we see that Rav himself was choshesh for Rav Asi, still, that means he wanted to be machmer on himself, but not that the actual halacha should be that you must have 10. At least Bismana. So the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rav Hachi." Did Rav really say that he's going to try to get together a minion regardless, or that this Shaloi Bismana you have to have a minion? Va Amar of Yehuda Breidir of Shmuel Bashilas Mishmei the Rav Purim Shachalis B'Shabbos. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, which again, in regular cities, that can't happen anymore because the 14th of Adar never comes out on Shabbos according to the law HaKavua. In Rav's times, it still could. But for nowadays, it's relevant as far as Purim the Bukhafin, as far as the 15th of Adar can sometimes come out on Shabbos like it did last year. So he says, Erev Shabbos Zmanam. So Erev Shabbos, is there time to read? Now, Shizmanam sounds like it means that it's the time that was established for them in the original Takana of Purim by Anshech Nesagurla. So the question is, the Gemara asks, before we finish with what Rav Yehuda Breidir Shmuel Bashilas is saying, what do you mean, Erev Shabbos Zmanam? Bar Shabbos Zmanam. The essential time that was set up for them is the 15th. Okay, it comes out on Shabbos. We said Zeta Derabba, you can't lane, but you can't really say that the 14th is the original time that was fixed for them. Ela lab hachikama. So it must mean. So must it not mean that what Rav is saying, what Rav Yehuda Bered of Shmuel Bashilas is saying in the name of Rav, is shaloi bizmanam ki zmanam. That this time when they're laying, it's not zmanam because by rights they should be laying on Shabbos. Right now they're laying shaloi bizmanam, and he's saying that shaloi bizmanam is ki zmanam, would be like the time when they're supposed to lay. Namely, mazmanam afilu b'yochid, afshaloi bizmanam afilu b'yochid. That would mean that just like Rav is saying that in their time you could lane with a yachid, if you're laning on the day of Purim itself, whichever day is Purim for your area, then you can lane be yachid. The implication seems to be that shaloi bizmanam, that you could also do be yachid. Because after all, that's what we're saying. We're saying that Erev Shabbos is shaloi bizmanam. You're not laning on the day that was originally established for you, and yet you're calling it like zmanam. So the answer is no. Loid le'inim mikra megillah ba'asara. No. What Rav means is that it means as far as mikra megillah, you do need 10. Elamai when you're laning on erev Shabbos. Elamai erev Shabbos manam la'apukim yidirevi. All Rav wants to do with that statement is he wants to tell us not like Rebbe, which we talked about yesterday. Ya'amar hoyov anidhwa yoras minakayman yidachol l'yemakmisa. He says once the cities, in a case where Purim fell out, where regular Purim fell out on Shabbos, where we said that the regular cities, again, they can't lane on Shabbos. So we had the Tanakhama of his Brisa saying that we have them laying on Erev Shabbos. And then we had Rebbe saying that no, once they're pushed from their place, you dochel the Yemachnisa, then instead of having them laying on Friday, we move it all the way back to Thursday, which is the 13th, and have them laying it then. So therefore, so now Rav wants us to know, Hokamash Malon, the Erev Shabbos Manam Hu, all Rav wants to tell you is that no, the proper time for them to lane in that case would be on Friday. He's not necessarily saying anything about Mikra Megillah, how many you need to have, whether you need 10 or not. So in fact, now one point is, the Turei Evan makes a point that given that we said before that the reason why Rav says Shaloi Bizmana, you're allowed to lane it with a Yochid, So on the one hand, we should say then, fine, if everybody is laning on Friday. So in other words, again, this isn't relevant nowadays to cities outside that are not walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. This is, we're talking about strictly cities that are walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Nowadays, the only one that celebrates Purim exclusively on the 15th is Yerushalayim. We're going to talk about on Omer Beis what happens in cities where you have a suffix, whether they were walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun or not. But anyway, so let's talk about Yerushalayim then. Purim there was definitely celebrated on the 15th. So now, if the 15th comes out on Shabbos, and we're laning on the 14th, so on the one hand, you could argue we still have Pursim and Nissa. Everybody in Yerushalayim is laning on the 14th, therefore, we have Pursim and Nissa. On the other hand, the Turei Evan argues that maybe we should say that, after all, when does the Suda of Purim take place? It doesn't take place on Friday, because there's no reason for it to. The Suda itself, we'll talk about in a second, the Suda itself could be conceivably either Shabbos or Sunday, according to different Rishonim. We'll talk about that in a second, but definitely not on Friday. So therefore, in that sense, you're lacking in Pursuming Nissa. So the implication might be that in that case, you do have to have a minion. And so the Poskim Achronim actually say that yes, in Yerushalayim, in such a case, when Shushan Purim is on Shabbos and you're moving Purim and you're moving Megillah reading to Friday, then you should be careful to do it with a minion just in case that is considered Shaloi Bizman. Which gets into the question then of how you do celebrate Purim in such a case in Yerushalayim. So we know there's a famous concept called Purim Mishulash, where they spread out the mitzvahs of Purim over a 3-day period. Why is that? So we have like this. The Megillah reading we're saying has to be on Friday. The question is, what about the Suda and the rest of the mitzvahs? Now, on the one hand, there's no problem having, on the face of it, the Suda on Shabbos. And in fact, we said on the top line of this Amud, we said, Simcha in an Aheges Ela Bizmana, which seems to mean then that you would just have the Suda on Shabbos. On the other hand, the Ran brings from a Yerushalmi that maybe not, maybe you shouldn't, because sort of like Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You have to have the Simcha of Purim has to be its own defined thing. You can't just have that it's combined together with the Shabbos Suda. So therefore, according to that, it would come out the Suda has to be on the 16th. Not everybody agrees with that. So what we have is like this. The way it's done in Yerushalayim, based on the Pesachim, in particular, the Rabbah was the Rav in Yerushalayim about 400 years ago, and other poskim. So it comes out like this. In Yerushalayim, in Sitra Kriyas, they lay the Megillah on Friday. They also give Matonis Lev Yonim that day, because we learned before in the Gemara that Matonis Lev Yonim is supposed to be tied to the reading of the Megillah. On Shabbos itself, they lain by Yovei Amalek, the Kriya of Purim, they lain in as Maftir, and they do the Haftorah of, the same Haftorah of Shabbos Zohar, of Shabbos Parashat Zohar, so it comes out in such a Kriya, they're doing the same Haftorah two Shabbosim in a row, Parashat Zohar and Shabbos Purim. They add something extra to their Suda there, to be Yotze, the opinion that you should have the Suda on Sunday. Some people also have the minhag of giving shalach manas on that day. Yerushalayim itself has an Erev, so you're able to do that. Because again, the shalach manas is more tied to the Purim Suda, and if we're saying the Suda should take place on Shabbos according to some Rishonim, so should shalach manas. And then you have, in addition, they have a Suda on Sunday, also on Shabbos is when they say Alam Nisim and Davening. Which is why you'll find in the newer printed Tilos Hashem Sidurim, you'll find that in Shabbos Davening they have Alam Nisim for Purim printed over there with a note that it's for Purim Dumukafim, because again Purim outside Yerushalayim is never going to be on Shabbos. Anyway, then on Sunday they have the main Suda, because many of the Rishonim hold that you're supposed to have the Suda then, and they also primarily give Shalach Manas then. So that's how they have Purim Mishulosh. That's how they have the mitzvahs of Purim spread out over 3 days. Okay. The Mishnah says, Ezehi Ir Gedolah, so what's the definition of a big city for the purpose that we said that a big city that's not walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, Davka lanes on the 14th, and they don't have the dispensation of moving it up to the Yom HaKnissa. So Kol Sheyesh Ba'asara Baklonim, when the city has 10 Baklonim in it, and we learned back on Gimel on the days that these are people who are always available to help make the minyan in Shul. So Baklonim literally means that they're idle from their job, but it doesn't mean they don't have a job at all. It can mean that. It can mean like they're able to sit and learn Torah all day, but it can include also that they have job, but they're able to leave that job whenever necessary and come to shul for the minute. In fact, the Sheilta says that the 10 that we have over here, they do have things that they do in the community. Three of them are the Dayanim. One of them is the bailiff for the Dayanim to get the Bala Din to come or whatever. A couple of them are, one of them is a Malamed, one of them is a Shoychet, etc. So Pochas Mikan HaRezik Kfar. If you have less than 10 Batlonim, then it's considered a village. And then they have the dispensation that we said that they can lane on one of the earlier days, on the 11th or 12th or 13th, whichever one the Yom HaKnissa comes out on. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah continues, the Elu Amru, with these things, namely the times of Megillah, we said Makdimin V'loy Ma'achrim. If it comes out, if we can't do it on the day itself, or actually, for example, if the day itself comes out on Shabbos, then we move it up. Because as we said on Beis Amud Aleph, and as we're going to repeat in the Gemara over here, the Pasuk says in the Megillah, V'lo Yaver, so the mitzvah support him cannot be delayed. They have to be moved up. So we're going to move them up to, for example, again, we said that if the regular cities fall out, if the regular city's Purim falls out on Shabbos, then we move it up to Thursday or Friday, according to the different opinions. And if Purim de Mokofen comes out on Shabbos, then we move it up to Friday. We never delay it. Aval, but there are some other mitzvahs where it's the other way around, we delay them rather than moving them up. Zman Atze Koyanim, Magos Abach adds the word Baha'am. We learned in Tainis about the days, the various days when, during the year, when certain families had the privilege of bringing wood for the Mizbeach. Because we said in the first year, when they first built the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't have enough wood for the Mizbeach, so these families volunteered to bring wood, and every year they made a takana that every year those families are going to get to bring wood on those particular days. So if one of those days comes out on Shabbos, then we delay it to the next day. Now the Gemara and Rashi don't really explain the reason why not. But the reason, other Rishonim explain, actually Rashi on the Rif explains, the Rashi didn't directly write on the Rif, But there is a Pirush on the Rif called Rashi. It was probably taken from Rashi's Pirush, from some version of Rashi's Pirush. Anyway, he says that very simple. For example, let's say that we learned in Tainus that, for example, you have the first one is the first of Nisan, the second one is the 20th of the second one is the 20th of Tammuz. Well, let's say the 20th of Tammuz comes out on Shabbos. The previous family's turn hasn't finished yet. They brought wood for up to and including the 19th of Tammuz. So if you're going to bring wood on that day, then it means that you're like you're coming into and you're hooning in on their territory, and you can't do that. Therefore, you have to wait for the 21st. Okay, what happens on the 20th? Obviously, the original family brought enough to last for that as well, knowing that it was going to be on Shabbos. So therefore you delay it. The Tisha B'Av, also Tisha B'Av, if it comes out on Shabbos, as we know, you push it off to Sunday, which Rashi says the same thing is true as far as the other fasts as well. The same thing is true as far as Shivas of Atamos and Asar of Atavis. We're mentioning Tisha B'Av that because we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah a couple of months back that the other fasts, in principle, there are times when you don't have to fast them. We said that if there's no Gzeres HaMalchus, that if it's a time of Shalom and there's no Gzeres HaMalchus, then you don't necessarily have to fast. Nowadays, that's not so, because we accepted, the whole Jewish people accepted it on themselves, but nevertheless, there were earlier times when you didn't necessarily have to, therefore we focus on Tisha B'Av over here. Another one, Chagiga. If Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, you don't bring your Korban Chagiga on Shabbos, you bring it during sometime during the rest of Yom Tov, you don't bring it before Yom Tov, the Hakel, and the day of Hakel is supposed to be the second day of Sukkot, so if that comes out on Shabbos, then you don't do Hakel that day, you push it off until the next day. Rashi brings a couple of reasons. One is because you have to bring even the baby. On Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to. Sometimes we say that you're allowed to carry in Yerushalayim if the walls are intact, but the walls of Yerushalayim weren't always intact. And sometimes it would be considered a Rishus HaRabim, or if not a Rishus HaRabim, at least a Karmelist, and so you couldn't carry the baby. That's one reason. Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi another reason. They set up a wooden platform for the king to stand on to lay. You couldn't build it on Shabbos, and you couldn't really build it before Shabbos because there wouldn't be room in the Azara. It would be too crowded then. You have a lot of people coming to bring their korbanos and to come on Aliyah Lerego, and you wouldn't have room if you put up that bima before Shabbos. Now, there's another point also that the Yerushalmi mentions, which Rashi doesn't bring, is they would blow trumpets to announce to everybody that it's Hakel and to come, and you can't blow those trumpets on Shabbos. The Rambam mentions that reason. Anyway, so all those things, Ma'achrin, V'loy Makdimin, if they come out on Shabbos, you push them off to Sunday rather than moving them up to Thursday or Friday. Continues the Mishnah. Afal Pisha Omru Makdimin V'loy Ma'achrin, even though we said when it comes to Purim that you're moving up the Kriyas HaMegillah a day or two or 3 days, nevertheless, we'll turn in behest, but of a tainus, matonus lev yonim, on those days that you would be laying in Megillah, you're still allowed to do a hesped, you're still allowed to fast, and you can give matonus lev yonim. In other words, let's say we actually learned in the Gemara tainus about this, that the 12th and the 13th, we said over there, we're actually Yom Tovim in the times of the second Beis Mikdash because of special things that happened to the Jewish people on those days. So we said, primarily, let's say we're talking about the 11th, for example, if it happens 1 year, so we said Purim is on Sunday, and then the villagers are laying in the previous Thursday, which is the 11th, nevertheless, even though the 11th, they're laying in the Megillah, they're still allowed to fast on it, they're still allowed to make a spadim on it, and as we said, they can give Matonis Lev Yonim on it. Actually, the Tosis Rid points out that maybe we should take out the word Matonis Lev Yonim over here, because we already said it's not that you could give it on that day, it's you must give it on that day. We said you're supposed to give it together with Kriyas HaMegillah. Whereas the Mishnah seems to be implying that you could give it. The Meiri says, okay, maybe what the Mishnah means is that you're not obligated to give it on that day, you could instead give it on Purim Day itself. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah finishes off, Rabbi Yehuda says, Amasai, when do we say that the villagers have the dispensation to lay in the Megillah early? Mokam shenichnasim b'sheni u'b'chamishi. When it's a village where they come into town on Monday and on Thursday. As we said at the beginning of the Masechta, according to Rashi, in order to come to the Beis Din for Dinei Torah, according to many other Rishonim that they come in for Kriyas, that they come in for Kriyas HaTorah. So then, since they're coming in on Monday and Thursday, and as we learned previously in the Gemara, as a schar for the fact that they bring water and food to the people in the cities, then the Chachamim gave them a break and allowed them to lay in the Megillah early, that way they can hear it on the day that they're anyway coming into town. Aval, Mokum, Shaini Chnosim, Loiva, Shaini Vloiva Chamishi, but in places where they don't come into town on Monday and Thursday, and Koinos Elabizmana, then they can only lane it in its proper time on the 14th. And they're going to have to find a way how to get together a minion in that village, or technically, we said before, according to Rav, when they're laning Bizmana, we said technically you don't need a minion. Only Rav Asya said you need a minion, and Halacha is like Rav. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Tana, Asara Baflonin should be basic nefes. When we say Asara Baflonin, now of course the word Baflonin could just mean idle people. We don't mean that there's some idle people who are loafing around in the street corners. We mean that they're idle, they're in shul, available at any time to make up the minion. Rashi brings from Gemara and Brachas that when Hashem comes to shul, when it's time for the minion, and then he doesn't find a minion over there, then Hashem is upset. So therefore the Asara Baflonin are always available in order to avoid that. We said in the mission of the Elu Omru Makdimin V'loi Ma'achrin, regarding Purim, we said that regarding the Kriyas HaMegillah, that is, we said that we move it up, we don't push it off. So my timer, why not? Omar Ababa, Omar Shmuel, Omar Kro, V'loi Yaver. Because, as we learned previously, on that phase, the Pasuk says V'loi Yaver, literally it means that the days of Purim will never go away, in other words, the Jewish people will always celebrate Purim. But we also understand the word V'loi Yaver means it shall not pass, meaning these days should not pass without the Megillah having been read, therefore we can't delay it past the 14th for regular cities or past the 15th for walled cities. Since we're mentioning something that Rav Abba said in the name of Shmuel, the Gemara brings something else for him. But Amar Rav Abba Amar Shmuel, Minayin She'en Mernin Yomim L'Shanim. How do we know that when you're counting a year, you don't count individual days, rather you count it as months? Namely, Rashi says, let's say a person makes a neder that he's not going to drink wine for a year. So what happens? So he made the neder, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. A year later comes Rosh Chodesh Nissan. If it was a regular year, not a leap year, only 354 days have passed. You would think, 1 second, a year, isn't a year defined as 365 days? Shouldn't he have to keep his neder for 11 more days? No, we say a year in halacha consists of a whole number of months. Since 12 months have passed, or 13 months, if it was a leap year, then that's it. That's what's considered a year in halacha. So how do we know that? Shenema l'chodshe hashana, because the pasuk mentions according to the months of the year. Implying chadoshim at the moin of Hashanim, implying that you only count months towards the year, that in at the moin of Yomim Lashanim, you don't count individual days towards the year. So you don't need 12 months plus 11 days, all you need is 12 months, even though that falls short of a solar year of 365 days. But Abonah de Kesri, Mishum of Abba Amru, now the Chachamim of Kesri, of Caesarea in Eretz Yisrael, said in the name of Rab Abba another point that relates to this, Minayin Shein Machashkin Shoris Lachadoshim, how do we know that you don't count hours towards months? So Rashi gives an example where that would have a Nafkamina in Halacha. You have a case where a person gives a get to his wife on condition that it should take effect, on condition that he doesn't come back to town within a certain amount of time. The Gemara in Gittin talks about one purpose a person might want to do that is he wants to make sure that if he passes away unexpectedly, his wife shouldn't have to have yibum or chalitza. He doesn't actually want to divorce her right now, so therefore he expresses it in terms of if I don't come back into town within X amount of time. So he might say, let's say within a month. So now when you think of it, a lunar month is Choftes Yud Beis Tashtag, 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim. So what happens but we say that for this purpose, a month counts as 30 full days. It means a few hours more than the lunar month. Doesn't matter. You don't count hours towards the month. You only count whole numbers of days. Shenema ad chodesh yomim, as you have a pasuk that mentions up to a month of days, implying yomim atam achashav l'chadoshim. So a month consists of a whole number of days. The atam achashav shoyes l'chadoshim, you don't count individual hours towards determining the length of a month. So in other words, if the guy says, I'm giving you a get that should take effect, if I don't come back within a month, and he comes back, let's say, after Choftes Yud Beis Tashtag, but before the end of the 30th day, then the get is bottled. We don't say that one full lunar month has already passed, and therefore the get should be chal. It's not, because a month consists of a whole number of days. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Avol Zman Atze Koyanim, we said the time when the Koyanim and the various families of the Jewish people bring wood to the Beis Mikdash, the Tisha B'Av, the Chagiga, the Hakel, Ma'achlin, the Lemakim, and we said all those things, if they come out on Shabbos, you push them off rather than moving them up. So the Gemara, again, doesn't bother giving a reason for Zman Atekoyinim, because, again, as that Rashi on the Rif said, the Svara is very simple. The previous, still, today is still part of the previous family's turn. So let's go through the others. Tisha B'Av, the reason why you don't do Tisha B'Av earlier is because Akdumi Puranos Lemakim. We don't want to move up something of Puranos, something of punishment. Given that we're fasting Tisha B'Av because of the Churban, we don't want to move it up to an earlier day. We'd rather push it off to a later day. Chagiga B'Ha, the Meiri points out, by the way, now we could now, the Gemara is going to bring with the next one, that the Chiyuv hasn't come yet. Why don't we say the same thing as far as Tisha B'Av? The answer is, we learned in Tainus that actually already from the 7th of Av, the Goyim were already in the Bais Mikdash and eating and drinking and carousing and whatever over there. So were it for that, that would be a valid reason to fast earlier. However, with Tisha B'Av, because we're saying we don't move up Puranos, therefore we don't, and therefore we push it off to Sunday. Chagiga v'Hakel, why when Chagiga and Hakel come out on Shabbos, why, in other words, Chagiga with the first day of Yom Tov and Hakel the second day of Sukkot, why do we push them off rather than doing them on Erev Shabbos? Mishum that kapilei motes man chiyuvayu, because on Friday it's not yet the time for them. The time for the Chagiga is beginning the first day of Yom Tov. The time for Hakel is the second day of Yom Tov. They're not meant to be any earlier. So there, and if you do them earlier, you're not going to be Yotze. Therefore you have to put them on or after the day. And Rashi over here briefly says the same thing is true as far as Afikonim, because it's like a neder. And what he means is, Meforshim explained, he means the same thing as it says more clearly in Rashi on the Rif, that again, this particular day still belongs to the neder of the previous family, that it's still part of their turn to bring wood. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Chagiga, v'chol zman Chagiga ma'achrim. The Chagiga and the whole time of Chagiga, we delay. So what does that mean? The Shlema Chagiga, I understand what we mean by delaying the Chagiga, the im mikla v'shabsa, if the first day Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, ma'achrim and lolabasa Shabbos. So we delay the bringing of the Chagiga till after Shabbos, because you can't bring individual korbanos on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can only bring korbanos tibur that have a fixed time. And include the Korban Pesach, because for that purpose, the Korban Pesach is considered a Korban Sibur, but nevertheless not the Chagiga, which is an individual's Korban. El Zman Chagiga Mayhi. What do we mean that we delay the time of Chagiga? So the Gemara gives a couple of answers. Answer number one, Amar of Oshia Hochi Kama. What he means to say is Chagiga B'Shabbos, V'Oilas Re'iya Apila B'Yomtev. Dizman Chagiga, he means like this. The Chagiga, if it comes out, if the day to bring it comes out on Shabbos, we're going to push it off. Also, what do we mean by Zman Chagiga? We mean the Oilas Re'iyah, which the Oilas Re'iyah, not only if the first day is on Shabbos, but even if the first day is on a weekday, Zman Chagiga, which is a valid time to bring the Chagiga, nevertheless, Ma'achrin, we would still delay that, we would still delay the Oilas Re'iyah until after Yom Tov as well. In which case, Mani, in which case, who would this B'raisa be like? Beis Shammai. That would be according to Beis Shammai. Itznan, we learn in a Mishnah, we learned this in Beitza, Beis Shammai Omer Mevi'in Shlomim V'Yomtev Ve'in Simchan Aleihem. Beis Shammai says that on Yomtev you're allowed to bring Shlomim, and the Korban Chagiga is a Shlomim. You can't do Smicha on them, because that involves leaning on the animal, and that's over on an Issur D'Rabbanan of leaning on an animal, of using an animal on Yomtev. And Beis Shammai doesn't hold that you have to have the smicha right before the shechita, so they say you could just do the smicha erev Yom Tov and then shecht it on Yom Tov, and you're allowed to do that. Beis Shammai says fine, because the korban shlomim is eaten, so it's melachas okel nefesh. Aval loy oilus, but you're not allowed to bring oilus on Yom Tov because there's no okel nefesh; it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. And they learn from a pasuk where it says hulavade yosa lachem, that lachem means v'loy legaboya. You can't bring korbanos. Private korbanos on Yom Tov that are completely given to Hashem. Well, Basila, I mean, whereas Basila say no, Mevi'in Shlomim Va'olus B'Sem Chan Aleihem. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to bring both Shlomim and Olus, and you're allowed to do smicha on them. The smicha you're allowed to do because according to Basila, you have to do it right before the shechita, so therefore there's no choice. And as far as that you're allowed to bring the Olus on Yom Tov, Basila, we learned in Beitza, says, Rashi brings it over here, says that the lochem means you're not allowed to prepare food on Yom Tov for goyim, or for animals, but you are allowed to for Hashem, for the Mizbeach. Anyway, the point is, so this Braisa then, according to Rav Oshia, is according to Beis Shammai. Now, so they both Beis Shammai and the Sol agree, of course, that if Yom Tov is on Shabbos, you can't bring private korbanos. So therefore, according to Rav Oshia, what the Braisa is saying, following Beis Shammai's opinion, the Chagiga itself is not brought when Yom Tov is on Shabbos. If Yom Tov were a weekday, you would have been able to bring it, because that's a Shlomim, and Beis Shammai is fine with bringing Shlomim on Yom Tov, just not Oilus. But Zman Chagiga, meaning something else that takes place, that it's supposed to take place at the same time as the Chagiga, namely the Oilus Re'iyah, that gets pushed off no matter what, even if Yom Tov is on a weekday. Rava, Amar Rava says a different explanation. Chagig, what it means is Chagiga calls man Chagiga ma'achrin tfeiloi. What the Braisa means is that the Chagiga can only be brought during the time of the Chagiga and not any later than that. In other words, when you say Chagiga b'chol zman Chagiga ma'achrin, we mean the Chagiga is delayed, and it's delayed to any other time during the time of Chagiga, but not later than that. In other words, we shouldn't think, let's say, like this, you normally have, as we're going to say now, you normally have the entire Yom Tov to bring the Chagiga. You shouldn't think, well, if the first day of Yom Tov was on Shabbos and you couldn't bring the Chagiga, so we should say maybe you should give the person an extra day after Yom Tov, give him Isru Chag as well to bring the Chagiga, because after all, he missed out one day at the beginning. No, we don't say that. It's not. As in fact, we learn in a Mishnah in Chagiga, Mishalei Chag v'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, if a person did not bring his Chagiga on the first day Yom Tov, Chagig v'Holachas Kol Rego Kuloi, then he can bring the Chagiga any time during the rest of the Yom Tov, v'Yom Tov Achon Shel Chag, and including if it's Sukkos, he can also bring it on Shmini Atzeres. But Avar HaRego V'Loi Chag, if the entire Yom Tov passed and he didn't bring his Chagiga, Ein Chai Bachriya said he doesn't have to bring a Chagiga after that. He's not responsible to make it up. In other words, he missed his chance and that's that. There's no making it up. So that's what it means. Zman Chagiga means that even when the first day Yom Tov is on Shabbos, you still only have the same number of days to bring the Chagiga. You still only have till the end of Yom Tov to bring the Chagiga as you normally would. You don't have any extra days after that. Rav Ashi gives a third explanation of the Braisa when it says b'chol zman chagiga. Means when we say chagiga b'chol zman chagiga ma'achrin, when we're saying that when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, we delay the chagiga, and the entire time of chagiga means v'afilu atzeres d'chad yoyim ma'achrin. Meaning even Shavuos, which is only one day in Eretz Yisrael, so you only have one day, nevertheless, still has Zman Chagiga, it still has time after Yom Tov when you can bring the Korban Chagiga. The Tzidkan, as in fact we learn in the Mishnah, Moedim, that the Shama and the Silla both agree, Sheim Chal Atzeres Bias B'Shabbos, that if Shavuos comes out on Shabbos, She Yom Tvoyach Achar HaShabbos, that Yom Tvoyach, which means the day of Shechting, because the day when they Shecht the people's Korbanos, takes place after Shabbos. In other words, again, we have the Machlokas, the Shama and the Silla, whether you can bring the Shlomim and the Oilos on Yom Tov, when it's not on Shabbos, but they both agree that you can't bring them on Shabbos itself, because they're Korbanos Yochid, and those are not Doicha Shabbos. So they both agree that in that case, Yom Tvoyach takes place on Sunday, on Isru Chag. So that's what it means. In other words, says Rav Ashi, the Braisa is telling us the same thing in different words, that the Chagiga, you have a Zman Chagiga for it after Yom Tov. As a matter of fact, you don't only have that day. You have 7 days of Tashlumin, which is why we have the minhag that we don't say Tachnun for the few days after Shavuos, because those were the Yemei Tashlumin when you could bring the Korban Chagiga if you didn't bring it on Yom Tov itself. By the way, we learned in connection with this in Beitza, we said that even though Beis Hillel holds that you can bring these korbanos on Yom Tov, in practice, mostly they followed the opinion of Beis Shammai and brought them after Yom Tov, and we talked about that in Beitza, and we talked about the Sicha, where the Rebbe analyzes that point of why Beis Hillel did that. It shows achdus among the Jewish people, etc. Okay. New topic. We're talking about Purim and we're talking about Tisha B'Av, so let's talk about something else involving them. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina, Rebbe Natan Tzir B'Purim. Rebbe one time planted a tree on Purim, and we're going to talk about now on Omer Beis what might be the problem with that or what's the chiddush in that. V'drochak b'kroina shel tzipori, and he bathed in the kroina of tzipori. So koroin means a wagon. So So Rashi and so Rashi and Tosfos both explain that it means that it was on a market day, it was in public, while wagons are going or traveling around from one place to another, and Rebbe, in full view of everybody, went to go and bathe. On the side of it here, it brings a different explanation from the Aruch that Kroina means a spring that produces cold water, so it's fresh cold water. Anyway, the point is he bathed in such a place, in Sipori, the Shiva Asa B'Tammuz on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. Now, what's the chiddush in that? You are allowed to bathe on Tisha B'Av. So Tosfos says, okay, well, that's the point. In other words, that you, the fact is the Jewish people have accepted on themselves to fast these fasts. Therefore, Rebbe did not eat on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, because even though in his time, relatively speaking, there was Sholem Yadam to Ninus, his friend, etc. Nevertheless, Rebbe still didn't go so far as eating on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, but to bathe, he held, and this is in fact the halacha, that you are in fact allowed to bathe and do the other things on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and on the other fast days except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Which, by the way, that is the halacha, although the Bach says that a Baal Nefesh should be machmir on himself. But Rebbe didn't hold that way. The Ritva actually says maybe not even necessarily. Maybe it means that Rebbe actually ate on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, because he held, again, that at the time of Sholem, and therefore we're not obligated to fast. However, we're not mentioning that because that was in private. This Rochatz, the Kroinah Shal Tzipori, took place in public in full view of everybody. Anyway, we continue. Obikish lack of Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. Now, what does that mean? How would he mean to uproot Tisha B'Av? You shouldn't fast on Tisha B'Av anymore. We'll talk in a second what that means. The Loi Hodu Loi, but the other Chachamim did not agree with him on that. They were fine with him planting the tree on Purim. They were fine with him bathing in public on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. But Tisha B'Av already, they said, well, we've got to draw the line over here. Tosfos explains that he never, of course, he doesn't mean to take away the fast of Tisha B'Av altogether. How could you? This mythos is still destroyed. What it means is that Rebbe wanted to, besides which anyway, as a matter of halacha, once an Udi or Beis Din established a fast on those days, then Rebbe's Beis Din doesn't have the power to overturn that. What it means is, Tosfos says that two possibilities. One is that Rebbe wanted that Tisha B'Av should be no more stringent than the other fast. The same way as, again, we're saying that Shiva Asa B'Tammuz and Asar B'Tevis and the rest of them, you're allowed to, you can eat by night, the fast only begins in the morning, you're allowed in the Ikra Din to bathe and to wear leather shoes and so on and so forth. So Rebbe wanted to make that Tisha B'Av would be the same thing. And the Chachamim disagreed with him. Second of all, Tosfos brings a different explanation that he wanted to move it from the 9th of Av to the 10th. We learned last week at the end of Tainus that Rabbi Yochanan said, given that most of the Heichel was burnt on the 10th of Av, we said the Goyim lit it on fire on the afternoon of the 9th of Av, and it burnt throughout the rest of the day and the entire 10th. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if I had been there, I would have told the Chachamim we should establish it on the 10th. So Tosfos says, the second possibility, Rebbe also held that way, so he wanted that we shouldn't be fasting on Tisha B'Av, but rather on the 10th of Av. However, the Gemara continues, Omer the fun of Rav Abba Bar Zabda. However, when Rav Hanina said this, Rav Abba Bar Zabda said to him, Rebbe loy kachoye maise. Rebbe, that's not how the thing happened. That we said Rav Elazar said, rather, in the name of Rav Hanina. So Rav Abba Bar Zabda is saying to Rav Elazar, that's not what happened, that Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av altogether, or like Tosfos says, to weaken it or whatever. Ella, Tisha B'Av shechalias v'Shabbos hava. In this case, Tisha B'Av had come out on Shabbos, udchinuhu la'achar Shabbos. So as our Mishnah says, it was pushed off till after Shabbos, because we said in the Mishnah, ma'achrin v'loimakdin. So Rebbe said in that particular kriyas, since Tisha B'Av was pushed off already, then it should be pushed off. In other words, that we should make it more lenient, or that maybe in such a year that we should make it more lenient in some way or other. But the other Chachamim did not agree with him on that. They said even when Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday, it still has all the chumras of a regular Tisha B'Av. The Rebbe used to often quote this expression, Hoyo v'nincha yidacha, in a drush kind of way, which actually you can find in an earlier Sifrei Chassidus as well. Then it means once Tisha B'Av has been pushed off, then the Eibishter should help that it should be completely pushed off, and we don't have to fast in it at all, and it becomes a Yom Tov with Mashiach coming. But Pshat, that's a drush. The Pshat of the Gemara over here is not that Rebbe wanted to remove Tisha B'Av altogether, but he wanted to say when it comes out on, when it's pushed off to Sunday, then it should be weakened, like Tosfos said. And the Chachamim disagreed with us. So Kori Ale, sort of Elazar, answered Reb Zabda. He said, he quoted a pasuk, Tovim Ashnayim Min Echad, two are better than one. In other words, he's saying, thank you, Reb Abba Bar Zabda, for pointing out the fact. If you hadn't told me, then I would have mistakenly said, like I said, that Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av no matter what day of the week it falls on. Now, thank you for clarifying that he was only talking about when Tisha B'Av is pushed off from Shabbos to Sunday. On the other, the Ritzvah has a different explanation. He says, the Shnayim means you have me and my Rebbe, Rav Hanina, who said the way I'm saying, you're one against us, so therefore two beats one, and I'm going to stick with my opinion. Okay, the Gemara asks, the Rebbe Heishin not on a tier before him? How could Rebbe plant a tree on Purim? While Tani Rav Yosef, Simcha Mishta V'yamdiv, Rav Yosef taught a Braisa that since the Pasuk in Megillas Esther describes Purim as days of simcha, happiness, or mishta and feasting, at the yomtiv and yomtiv. So what do each of those phrases mean? Simcha malamet chasurim behesped. When we say simcha means the day when you're not allowed to make a spadim for a mess. Tosfos points out, by the way, now Tosfos points out a tshuva from Rashi that says, nevertheless, we don't say that Purim pushes off avelos. Now there are rishonim who learn that it does. The Shiltis, for example, says, the same way, for example, as a person's relative passes away, let's say shortly before Pesach, and we say that once Pesach comes in, then Shiva is canceled, and the same thing with similar things with Shloshim. The Shiltis and a couple of other Rishonim say that the same thing applies to Purim. Rashi says, absolutely not. We're saying over here that Purim is also behested, but it just means, in other words, that it's not a Yom Tzora, it's a Yom Simcha, but nevertheless, so fine, maybe we don't krava avelos in public on Purim, but nevertheless, it still exists as one of the days of Shiva, and it doesn't cancel Shiva, and that is the halacha. Anyway, so we're saying Simcha means that it's also the Hesped. Mishta Malamacha also the Tainus. The word Mishta, that Purim is a day of feasting, implies you're not allowed to fast on it. The Yomtiv Malamacha also Vasiyas Malacha. And when we say that it's a Yomtiv, means you're not allowed to do Malacha. So how is Rebbe planting a tree on Tishba, on Purim? So the answer is, Ella, Rebbe, Bar Abbesa, Haba. The answer is, Rebbe lived in a city which was not walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, when Purim is on the 14th. When did he plant his tree? On Shushan Purim. So no problem. For him, if not Purim, he'd be allowed to. But you want to ask, any, is that so? Well, Rebbe the Tveria, Haba. Didn't Rebbe live in the city of Tveria, as we find in other places in Shas? Or Tveria Mokefas Choma Mimos Yeshua ben Nun Havoi? Tveria was surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, so therefore they lay in Megillah and they celebrate Purim there on the 15th. Okay, so the other way around. Ella Rebbe bar Chamesa Hava. Fine, so answer the other way around. Rebbe lived in Tveria, which celebrates Purim on the 15th. V'chinota bar Abesa Hava. So okay, when did he plant this tree? He did it on the 14th. Tosfos refers over here to a time, the Gemara tells a story in Avodah Zarah, one of the stories involving Rebbe and Antoninus, where Antoninus asks Rebbe, how should I go about, I want to get the Roman Senate, the Roman advisors, whatever, to agree to allow me to do two things, one of them being to get Tveria exempted from taxes, and how do I go about convincing them? So the point is, we see now, why would he want Tveria to be exempted from taxes? Because Rebbe, his good friend, lived there together with many of the other Chachamim, and he wanted to help them out. So we see that Rebbe lived in Tveria. So okay, so that's the answer. In other words, we're going to say Tveria celebrates Purim on the 15th. So Rebbe planted his tree on the 14th. The Gemara says, "Me pshitalei the Tveria mokefas koima mimos Yeshua ben Nun." Are you telling me that Rebbe took it as a given that Tveria is surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore that there's no question that their Purim is on the 15th? We find that Chizkiah, who was one of Rebbe's Talmidim, he was one of the sons of Reb Chiya, who himself was a Talmud of Rebbe. So Chizkiah also lived in Tveria, and he read the Megillah there on the 14th and on the 15th. Because Masapkalei imukepes chaimi mimos Yeshua ben Nun Eloi. Because he had a suffix, whether Tveria is surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So Bapashtos, we would assume if Chizkiah had a suffix, it means Rebbe also had a suffix. So how do we take it as a given that Tveria definitely celebrates on the 15th? The answer is not necessarily. L'chizkiya m'safkele l'rebbe pshitalei. Rebbe knew for a fact that it's surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Chizkiya wasn't sure about that. Now, how is Chizkiah unsure about that if he sees Rebbe actually conducting himself and doing Purim on the 15th? So Mefarshim answer, okay, Chizkiah didn't necessarily know what Rebbe had done. He's in the following generation. Maybe he wasn't there when Rebbe celebrated Purim, but he didn't remember and he didn't know what day it was. So he had a stop. By the way, this gets into the question of, we're going to talk about Purim on the Amud. We're going to reanalyze this din about a Suffolk in such a city. So do you, let's say, now you have a bunch of cities in Eretz Yisrael and maybe even some cities in Chutzlaret where you have a Suffolk about them. In many cases, the Suffolk is, we know that the original city was surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, but we're not certain, is the city now located in the same place it was before? So, for example, Hebron, Shechem, okay, nowadays Shechem is in the hands of the Goyim, but whatever, various other cities, you know, Yisrael, Lud, we talked about the other day, etc. So many of those, we know they were walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, but is the, Beersheba is another example, is the modern city in the same place where it was in the times of Tanakh? Not necessarily. A very common thing, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael is that eventually the cities would be destroyed and rebuilt many times. Eventually what happens is, after a city is destroyed and rebuilt a number of times, you end up with a mound of dirt over there. They call it a tell. They have these tells all over Eretz Yisrael where they found the ruins of ancient cities, all over the Middle East, in fact. What happens is, eventually it's not really comfortable and convenient to have the city on top of that hill like that. So then they move to a nearby place, a few hundred feet or half a mile or a mile away, and they build a new city and they start over again and they just give it the same name. So many cities, you know, it's Israel, you have to stop it. So what do you do? So we're saying over here, like Chizkiah did, in those places, you would have to lay Megillah on the 14th and on the 15th. The question then becomes, do you make a bracha? When do you make the bracha? Some of the Rishonim say that you shouldn't make a bracha on either one of them, because both of them are suffer. On the other hand, the Rambam says, the fact is most of the world celebrates Purim on the 14th. Therefore, you should go ahead and make a bracha in these places on the 14th, and then lay on the 15th without a bracha. And that is the halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in these various cities in Eretz Yisrael that have a suffer, that's what they do. They celebrate Purim on the 14th, but they lay in the Megillah again on the 15th without a bracha. And again, the question is whether it applies to cities outside Eretz Yisrael as well. There's a good deal of discussion about that among Rishonim. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So far we're saying that Rebbe knew for a fact that Tveria is surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. In other words, and it's located in the same place. And therefore, so Rebbe could do Malacha on the 14th, which for him is not Purim yet. The Gemara says, so what? So what? Even if Rebbe knows that Purim in Tveria is on the 15th, how could he plant a tree on the 14th? In Megillas Tainus, which we learned about in Masechta Tainus most recently, it's a short sefer that lists the various days on which Nisim and good things happen to the Jewish people throughout, mostly during the time of the second Nisim Mikdash, and you're not allowed to fast on them, and some of them you're not allowed to make a stadium. And Megillas Tainus lists ACM Abba also the ACM Chamisha also, Yom Puraya Inun, those are the days of Purim, the Loyla Misvad Behoin, you're not allowed to make a spade on them. But Omar Rava, now Rava says, why did Megillas Tainus have to list that? We had Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther clearly says that Purim is on the 14th and the 15th. Why did Megillas Tainus have to repeat it? So Rava says, Loy Nitzricha, the Chidush, the reason why it was necessary to repeat, Ela Lesser, Shal Zeba Zeba, Shal Zeba Zeb, to tell us that the people of one place are also in the other one. In other words, people who live in a place where Purim is the 14th, they still can't do Hesped Retinus on the 15th, and vice versa. So therefore, the Pashtus, we would assume the same thing applies to Malacha. So even a person like Rebbe who lives in a place where Purim is the 15th is still not allowed to do Malacha on the 14th, and vice versa. So we're back to the question, how is Rebbe doing Malacha and planting a tree on Purim? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hani Mili Behesped Retinus. When we say that people of one place are also on the other one, that means as far as Hesped and Tainus. So again, a person who lives in a place where Purim is the 14th is not allowed to do Hesped and Tainus on the 15th, and vice versa. Al Malacha, but when it comes to the Issur of Malacha, that's different. Yom Echad Betulai. It's only the one day of that you're celebrating Purim in your place that you can't do Malacha, but the other place not. The Gemara says, Eini, is that so? So you're allowed to do Malacha on the day of Purim itself, that you're not allowed to do, is that so, that you're allowed to do Malacha on the other day? So, for example, a person from a regular city would be allowed to do Malacha on Shushan Purim. V'harav chazir lahu gavra. Rav one time saw a person to have a kashodi kitna b'puria, that he was planting flax on Purim, the latye, and Rav cursed him, and sure enough, the light samach kitne, and the curse took effect, and the flax didn't grow. And the pastures, we would assume that that was not on Purim itself, it was on Shushan Purim, and yet we see that Rav criticized him and cursed him for that. The answer is no. Hosam by Yomah. But the answer is no. That was on the day when they celebrated Purim in that area. So the person on Purim itself is growing on the 14th, because if he was a place where they celebrate Purim on the 14th, was planting his flax on the 14th itself, and was saying that there is an Issur Malacha on that day, and therefore Rav cursed him. On the other hand, Rabba Brei de Rabba Omer, Rabba the son of Rabba says, no, Afilo Tema B'Yomei, you could even say that Rebbe planted his tree on the day of Purim itself, because up till now we're assuming that you can't do Malacha on Purim. But that's not necessarily so. Hesped B'Tainis, Kabilu Alayu, Malacha Le Kabilu Alayu. The Jewish people accepted on themselves that the day of Purim should be days of Mishta V'Simcha, which we said therefore means you can't do Hespedim and you can't fast. Malacha like Kabilu Alayu, but the Jewish people never accepted on themselves an Isser Malacha on Purim. Therefore, says Rabba Brei de Rabba, you are allowed to do Malacha on Purim. And we see that. It's true that a few psukim earlier, it mentions that Purim is days of Simcho Mishtav Yomtav, which is what we learned before from the fact that it says Yomtav, that it's also Vasiyas Malacha. But a few psukim later, it says that Mordechai and the Anshef Nesagdola wrote to the Jewish people and told them to observe the Lasis Oisim Mishtav Simcha, to observe the days of Purim as days of Mishtav Simcha, the Ilu Yomtav Loik Siv. But it doesn't say anything about Yomtav. Showing, in other words, that they did not establish Purim as a Yomtav of the kind that's also Vasiyas Malacha. An interesting point is Taka, why not? The Malbim has an interesting point in his Pirush on the Megillah. We talked about at the beginning of the Masechta what the Ramban says and what the Malbim says in a different vein, that Purim was not universally celebrated to begin with. It was celebrated only by people in the regular cities for a few years, and then eventually Mordechai and the Sanhedrin wrote to them and told them that everybody has to observe Purim, even in the walled cities, because the nest was for them as well. So when they were doing it in regular cities, says the Malbim, they could also accept on themselves not to do Malacha. Fine, it's not a yomtiv for the entire Jewish people. There's no problem with people in a certain place accepting on themselves they're not going to do Malacha. Once the yomtiv was established for the entire Jewish people, then the Chachamim do not have the ability to declare a yomtiv that should be also Vasiyas Malacha for the entire Jewish people. So therefore the issue of doing Malacha had to go. So now we're saying that you are allowed to do Malacha on Purim. Okay, well then, so that explains how Rebbe could plant the tree. Well then, the question is, so why did Rav curse that person who was planting flax on Purim? The answer is because that was a case of Dvorim Hamutorin Va'achirim Nogoban Isra'ava. That was a case of something which technically is mutter, but people are knowing to consider it osur. And over Asra, the Rebbe, like no, in Rebbe's area of Tiberia, they didn't have any such minhag. So therefore, there's no problem for Rebbe to plant even on Purim itself, because in his area, they didn't have the minhag of saying that Malacha is also. This other guy was saying he was planting flax. In that area, the minhag was to say that Malacha on Purim is also, and he went against that, and therefore Rav cursed him. Now, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, so it says that technically, based on our Gemara, you are allowed to do Malacha on Purim in places where it's Nagu that you could. The Ramah says nowadays everybody has a minhag not to, therefore you don't do Malacha on Purim. However, the post can say it's not Malacha like in the sense of Shabbos and Yom Tov. We see Mais and Mechol Yom, everybody goes and drives on Purim and does different things like that. What it means is Malacha that takes a certain amount of time, Shihui it's called, that you can't do on Purim because you're supposed to be focused on the Simcha, Mishkan, whatever of Purim. But for example, short things, things that are necessary for the Simcha of Purim, you're allowed to do. You're also allowed to do short things, like writing a note or something. And then, for example, another example, the same way, for saying Rebbe planted a tree, they talk about, for example, a person would be allowed to write down his Chidushei Torah on Purim, because that also brings him Simcha. So the Gemara says, V'boisim, ala olam nohug. Another possibility we could say is that in Rebbe's area, they did have the minhag not to do Malacha on Purim. But the kind of planting that Rebbe was doing was a planting of simcha, and therefore the rule against malacha doesn't apply to that. Again, the same idea as we were just saying, that malacha on Purim, that's for the sake of the simcha of Purim, is mutter. Now, what do we mean in a tiyashal simcha? We learned in Tainus a couple of weeks back, that we said that if all the fasts, all the 13 fasts they did for rain have passed and they still haven't been answered and still haven't rained, we said they reduce the business, the amount of business that they do. Meaning Tosfos says specifically we mean maso matan that has to do with simcha. The binyan of Benetia, we reduce or really eliminate building and planting, as we're going to say, of simcha. The erusin of Benetzurin, we don't do erusin, kiddushin, or weddings. The Tana law, and we learn in a bright on it, what kind of binyan do we mean? You're allowed to do regular buildings, but it means binyan shal simcha. It means a building that's built for simcha, as we'll explain in a second. Natiya shal simcha, and a planting means a planting of a simcha. Those you're not allowed to do at those times when all the fasts are passed and you still haven't been answered with rain, showing that Hashem is still angry at the tzibur. So the flip side of that is we're saying that those things are allowed on Purim, even if regular malacha is not. Ezeu binyan shal simcha. What do we mean a building of simcha? Zabarna beis chasnus livnoi. That means, for example, a person is building a house where his son is going to get married in. The minhag was, in those days, you would build a house, so you'd reserve a house for that purpose, especially for your oldest son's wedding, and then afterwards you'd give him the house as a present. So that's a binyan, you're building the building for simcha. So that kind of thing, at the time, after the fasts are over, is an inappropriate time, but on Purim is an appropriate thing to do. Ezuin the tiyashal simcha, and what is a planting of simcha? Zanatea aburniki shamalachim. This is somebody who plants an aburniki of kings. So Rashi explains, in other words, an aburniki is a tree that produces a lot of shade. So what you do is you put it up on like a trellis or something to have the branches cover a wider area. And then you, during the summertime, you sit and your kings sit and eat and picnic and whatever underneath it. Rashi and Tainus gave a different explanation that when a king would have a son, then they would plant a tree in honor of the son, and later on when the son grew up and took over the kingship, then they'd cut down the tree and use that for the wood for his throne. Whatever. So such a planting is a planting of simcha, so therefore Rebbe was allowed to do that on Purim, but not necessarily if it had been a regular planting. We'll continue on Matzah Shabbos, Beis Hashem.
Yes, of course.